Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Saturday night, January 21st, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was a Saturday night service for the Virginia District Teen Winter Retreat. And in the Saturday night service, my Uncle Stephen Willis, who is the pastor of Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene, came and continued the weekend's theme about being called out.
Are you guys, anyone tired? All right, well, if you're tired, stand up. Come on, I don't want you falling asleep on us. We just started. The night is young. Hey, guys, so glad to have you here all day long. We still have a little bit of retreat left. It doesn't end tonight. We still have some tomorrow. So we'll worship our guts out tonight, and then we'll do it again tomorrow early in the morning, okay? So we still got time together. So no tears. No need to lament, okay? No one has to put on their sackcloth and ashes yet. So, hey, we're going to go over this verse, bring it down a little bit. We want to just reiterate, this is what we're about. We are the called out ones of God. I had to bring my phone tonight because apparently I'm getting old and I can't read the words. They're all kind of pretty and stuff, and I can't read them that far. But I thought it'd be cool if we read this together, but to do that, we have to get quiet. We have to get quiet. We have to get quiet. We have to bring it down. We have to focus. We have to draw it in. So let's read this together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's pray. God, thank you. We are so grateful. There is nothing else we can say but thank you for calling us out of our darkness. God, our despair, our brokenness, God, our sin. God, we need you. You've called us into your marvelous light because you are light and you are love. That's who you are. God, darkness is nothing but the absence of you. God, and where you are, we want to be. We want to be children of the light. God, that is our prayer tonight, to be children of the light, fully surrendered to you, because we want to be in the light and in your presence. We pray these things in the name above all names, the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, well, I heard about a youth leader. Now, there are some stellar youth leaders out here tonight. If you have a stellar youth leader, why don't you give him a hand? Yeah, yeah. Now, this youth leader went above and beyond. He went above the call of duty. Not only did he take his whole weekend to spend with you guys, right, and lack of sleep and all, everything, but I heard today is actually his birthday. Right? His birthday. Now, is there a Ray in the room? Is he somewhere over there? Hey, there's Ray. Happy birthday, Ray Ray! That's awesome. All right, guys. But for now, let's check out this clip.
How are you guys tonight? All right, this is night two. You guys can do better than that. How are you guys tonight? So I just want to tell you guys about this cool thing we do in the spring. We have this spring bilingual retreat that happens at the campgrounds, and I have the honor to tell you guys they're usually the first ones to find out these dates. So we're going to have Ultra Camp from April 28th to April 30th. It is a weekend at the campgrounds, and registrations open February 1st. Now, up there you see J&I. J&I is just NYI in Spanish. And so we all come together at the campgrounds, and we worship in Spanish and in English. So your youth leaders and your youth pastors will be getting information about this soon, so you guys don't want to miss out. And in the video, you saw something we call pre-ultra. So we join together before we actually go to camp, and we meet in Fredericksburg. And we just set apart this night and we just worship God. We learn about different things, and it's just a good way to get involved and get ready for camp. So be open to that. We really would love to see you guys there. And you guys, it's just something you don't want to miss. So here are the dates and hope to see you guys there. Thank you.
If you guys love Chris, just say, I love Chris. Well, hey, some of you people must be tired. You're sitting down again, but we're going to watch a little video about Eastern Nazarene College, and they might be throwing stuff at the end, so you might want to stretch those legs so you can get some vertical, if you know what I'm saying. Cue video.
If you had a good day, scream like a girl. All right. Sit down. Stop screaming, white girls. All right. We'll have a seat for a minute. Relax. Shh. But don't lay down. You don't do that. That won't work. Well, hey, haven't you loved... I know some of you, I've watched you today. You've not only just had fun, but you've been engaged in breakout sessions. You've been involved in whatever's happening here. You were lip-sync battling out there, or scavenging. It's been an awesome day. How many of you enjoyed being in a breakout session? Yeah. Me too. Hey, you know, one of the greatest blessings of today for me, though, is to watch so many of you go by the booth and interact with Nicole and Lauren and Jamie there and to support Restore Elikia. And we're so excited. How many of you want to find out how much money you guys gave? Anybody? Sweet. All right, well, I should probably make sure you know that. Well, you know this is Nicole. I've never, ever, ever convinced my wife to get on stage at Winter Retreat, and she's here now. So you should say hi to her. Hi. I told her she didn't have to say anything. So, and you know these two studs too. So they're going to help us tell you how much we've raised so far. So let's start with the coffee shop. Raise your hand if you got some coffee this weekend. Nice. All right, cool. All right, Camden, tell us how much we raised at the coffee shop this weekend.
$825.
$825! That's awesome. I love that. And you're going to say this? Yeah, she's going to speak into a microphone. Shh, shh, shh. When a retreat history being made. My wife's willingly speaking into a microphone on stage. So awesome. All right, Lauren, tell us how much we raised at the shop so far this weekend.
I'm only speaking into this because Nicole is not mic'd right now. So okay. Oh, no, I lost it. Okay, ready? $4,069.
That's awesome. So together, you've already raised $4,800 for Restore Elikia. And that, yeah, give yourselves another hand. That is awesome. Yeah, 4,800. Yep. So, man, what a difference that's going to make. And I won't ask Nicole because I know she can't tell us. But, man, what an incredible difference that's going to make in these women's lives. And we're going to have one more chance today in case you missed it. As you leave tonight, Nicole will be back there, right, at the table. And if you want to make a donation, maybe you got a couple dollars left, you just feel led to do it. Man, it would be awesome to get over $5,000 for the weekend. There's shirts. All the shirts are $5 off. So if you've been, like, dreaming about one of those baseball tees, it just became $5 cheaper. So $5 off those. No pressure, of course, but just one more chance for you to support them. Thank you so much for your obedience. Give these guys a hand one more time. Woo! Hey, we're here to worship. We're here to hear from the Word. We're excited that Pastor Stephen Willis is going to come in just a few minutes. Oh my goodness! But before he does that, we're going to worship together. So would you bow your heads right now with me? Don't look around. Don't worry about who's around you. Father in heaven, you're here already with us. We call upon your name, but you are here present among us right now, walking through this room. You have longed all day, God, for us to gather again and to worship you. We've been worshiping you, God, up in the prayer room and having fun together in community. But there's something special about coming together and singing at the top of our lungs, making your name famous. And so tonight, we choose to exalt you, to lift you up. We don't lift up ourselves. We don't lift up our reputation. We don't lift up our abilities. We lift up the name of Jesus in this place because you are worthy of our worship and our praise. And right right now, we're going to give you all we got because you're worthy of that. In your name we pray. Amen. Stand up. Let's worship. Come on.
How's it going, Winter Retreat? Hey, look at your neighbor and say, I am so stinking glad you're here. And now look at them and say, hey, next time wear deodorant, would you? Ask your neighbor to wear deodorant next time. My name is Stephen Willis, and I am so glad that you're here tonight. And I'm so glad to be here. Last night you had Chris, the young guy, and now tonight you get Stephen, the old guy. And yeah. Tonight I want to share these words with you. Would you repeat after me? Bless it.
Blessed.
Let's try again. Bless it.
Blessed.
Are those
who hunger
and thirst
for righteousness.
For they shall be filled. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about that scripture and another scripture in a second. You know, there's a thing that I want to share with you that our youth group did when we arrived in Harrisonburg. We hit up the local CC's buffet. Anybody ever been to CC's? Yeah, we went to CC's. And we were there for like an hour and a half, and literally one of our junior high kids, when we went to leave, was carrying food with him out of the buffet. I was like, man, where in the world are you putting it? You know, I want to share with you about this idea of buffets. You know, buffets are a wonderful thing, but I've had some problems with buffets in the past. And one of the problems I've had with buffets is that when I was your age, and some of you are middle schooler, if you're an eighth grader here, would you raise your hand? When I was eighth grade, I had the worst stomach ache of my life because when I was in eighth grade, I played on an all-star baseball team. And I went to a buffet with a bunch of guys, and I'm not real big, but they challenged me to a pizza eating contest. Have any of you ever tried to out-eat a bunch of people? Yeah. You know, that night, believe it or not, I ate 18 pieces of pizza. That's the good news and the bad news. Because I didn't even win, because a guy, a friend of mine named Lewis, actually eat 27 pieces of pizza. I was sick for 2 days. And there was another time that I went to a buffet once, and it was a breakfast buffet. And when I went to the breakfast buffet, I got my plate out, and, you know, I'm going through, and I'm putting the things on it that I like, and, there's a little bit of an omelet there, and there's a little orange slices, and then some little blueberry muffins, and I'm putting all these things there. And then when I got down to the end of the buffet, there was this big thing of bacon. Who does that? Because, you know what, I'm okay with a little bit of omelet, and I'm okay with a little bit of orange slices, but daggone it, put the bacon at the front of the buffet. Because you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to dump out all my food just so I could pile it up on bacon. Can I get an amen for bacon right here tonight? Yeah, I mean, I'm loving some. I mean, some of you vegetarians, keep it up. Just more bacon for me, you know? I want to share with you about our culture today. I want to share with you about this idea that in the 1940s, there was a guy by the name of Herb McDonald. Can you say Herb McDonald?
Herb McDonald
is actually the man who came up with the idea of a buffet in the 1940s. And you know what? The thing about the buffet is this. As a result of the buffet, many of us here in this room today know what it's about to be full. You know, how many of you, when you go to a buffet, you wear your elastic pants? You know what I'm talking about? I'm going in like jogging pants, right? Like, I'm not going to eat all day, and I'm going to wear my jogging pants to the buffet because it's really my purpose to do two things. Bankrupt the restaurant and feel completely sick when I leave. Can I get an amen on feeling completely sick? Yeah. But you know, in our culture today, we don't know what it means to be empty. In our culture today, we don't really know it at all what it means to be empty. As a matter of fact, just after Christmas, I spent 7 days in Guatemala. And while I was there, we actually went to Guatemala. And we went to a dump in Guatemala. And this is all serious.
We went to a dump in Guatemala. There are families that live outside of the dump because the dump is their livelihood. This is what they do. They collect as much glass and as much plastic and anything else they can find in order to take it and sell it. And they make very little money, but that's their livelihood. And that day we fed these kids outside of this dump in Guatemala. And they were coming with all types of different containers that they actually found in the dump that you could tell wasn't really clean. And they brought as many containers as they could because they weren't assured of another meal for several days. And so on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, these kids line up with all of these different things that they would find in order to get as much food as they could because they knew the next day they wouldn't have any. We don't know what that's like here in our country. Very few of us know about that. But here's the thing. When we wake up in the morning, many of us feel empty. And here's what we do. We wake up in the morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, we have our phones right beside our bed. And we use our phone as our alarm clock. If you use your phone as an alarm clock, would you raise your hand? Like, when I was in Guatemala, there was a guy. I mean, I'm telling you, his alarm clock on his cell phone would wake up the dead. Like, seriously, it was that loud. But I just kind of go with the vibration. You know, I don't want any loud noises and it'll vibrate. And here's what many of us do. We get up, we unplug our cell phone, and immediately we feel empty. And you know what we start doing? We start filling ourselves. We fill ourselves with Instagram. We fill ourselves with Snapchat. We fill ourselves with Twitter. We fill ourselves with Facebook. And then as we do that, maybe we shower and get ready for school. And the next thing we're doing is we're in the kitchen and we're trying to fill ourselves with food. But even as we're eating, you know what we're doing? Those likes that we get on that photo or those comments that we get off of Instagram, you know what we're doing? We're constantly filling ourselves with all of these things. And the truth is, guys, there are many of us in this room today. And we're just full of it. But we're full of stuff that doesn't bring us the things that God wants to give us. I want to talk to you tonight, just for a second, about this idea of being empty. And there's this scripture in 2 Kings. Can everybody say 2 Kings? Chapter 4. Can you say chapter 4? I want you to read along with me this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, one day, the wife of a man from the guild of prophets called out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God. And now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my two children as slaves. So catch this. Here's what's happening. This lady, she's at the end of her rope. Emptiness is the definition of her life. Every area of her life is empty, and she's looking for hope. And then this is what the scripture says. Elisha the prophet said, I wonder how I may be of help. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing, she said. Can everybody just say nothing? Nothing, nothing she said. Well, wait a minute, she says. Well, I do have just a little bit of oil. Well, here's what you should do, Elisha says. Go up and down the street and borrow jars and bowls from all of your neighbors. And not just a few, but get all that you can. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour oil into each container. When each is full, set it aside. And she did what he said. And she locked the door behind her and her sons. And as they brought the containers to her, she filled them. And when all the jars and bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, another jar, please. He said, that's it. There's no more jars. And then the oil stopped. And she went and told the story to the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and make good on your debts. Live, both you and your sons, on what's left. Would you pray with me? Father, today I pray a blessing over the reading of your word. And I ask God today that you would draw us near to you. And that you would help us to hear your voice. And that we would not only hear your voice, but we would respond with a yes. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what's happening. This woman is completely empty. Can you say completely empty? here's what I mean by that. First of all, her husband's dead. I mean, can you imagine? Her husband has died, and now he's dead, and she don't have a husband anymore. She's a widowed woman. But it gets even worse. Not only is her husband dead, she is at the end of her financial chain. She doesn't have any money. And she not only doesn't have any money, she actually is indebted to a guy. And the Hebrew law always said that if you could not pay your debts, then the person who you owe actually could come get your children and force them into slavery. And so this woman, here she is, she's at the end of her rope. She has nothing in her house. She has no money in her pocketbook. She is the symbol of everything that is empty. She is scared that her sons are going to be sold into slavery. And she comes to Elijah the prophet, and she says, "What am I going to do?" And Elijah asks two questions. "Well, first of all, I wonder how I could help you. Let me think about it." And then he says, "What do you have in your house?" And her first response is, "I don't have anything, nothing." Can you say nothing? But then she thinks, "Hey, wait a minute. It probably doesn't really matter, Elijah, but I can't really honestly say I don't have anything. Actually, what I do have is I have just a little bit of oil." And Elijah, he gives her, it's just so stupid. He's like, "Hey, well, listen, I know that you're at the end of your rope. I know that you've lost your husband. I know that you don't have any money. I know that your sons are getting ready to be sent into slavery. Hey, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to your neighborhood, and what I want you to do is I just want you to find as many jars as you can. Just find a bunch of empty jars. And after you find the empty jars," he said, "listen, I don't want you to just get a few empty jars. I want you to get a lot of empty jars. Find as many as you can." And so this woman who is so desperate, she doesn't say, "Well, what are you talking about? That's so stupid." No, she does exactly what he says. She goes back to her community and she collects as many jars as she can. And you know what she does? She goes back to her house. And Elijah said, "When you go back to your house, shut the door." And I wonder about that, this whole idea of shutting the door. Like, this plan is so stupid. This plan is so far-fetched. It's almost like Elijah was like, "Listen, I don't want any of the people you collected jars from to actually come back and convince you not to do what I'm going to do." And so here's what happens. She shuts the door. Boom! She takes all the jars out, and she lays them on the ground. And she takes this other little tiny jar of oil. She has just a little bit left. And this stupid thing happens because she starts pouring. She doesn't even have a table. She has anything in her house. She starts pouring by faith this little bit of oil into the jar. And then all of a sudden, she starts getting weirded out because, you see, this little bit of oil that she had in this jar is smaller than the first jar. But as she pours, the oil just keeps flowing, and it keeps flowing to the point that it's flowing so fast that she has to slide the jar out of the way and get the next jar, and it's filling up, and she slides it out of the way and the next jar, and there's this assembly line of jars that are coming her way. And then finally, she gets to the place where she's like, "Oh, okay, get another jar. Give me another jar." And the son says, "Mom, we don't have any jars left." And at the moment, there was no jars left. The scripture says that the oil stopped flowing. At this time, she's like blown away. And so she sees all this oil in all these jars, and she runs back to the prophet, and she's like, "And you're not going to believe it! What you told me happened is true! Every jar that we had, it filled up, and if we had 1,000 more jars, the oil would still be flowing." And Elijah says to her, "I want you to take every jar of oil you have, and I want you to sell all of it, except for keep some of it for yourself." You see, here's something that you need to know. Most of you don't know it, but oil has a lot of value. Would you look at your neighbor and say, "Oil has a lot of value"? Let me tell you about the oil. As a matter of fact, I've got some olive oil here for you. Let me tell you about the oil. You see, oil actually comes from olive trees in Israel. As a matter of fact, if you've ever been to Israel, you'll come to understand that in Israel, they don't actually have hardly anything they can export. You know, we export all kinds of things. The only thing that Israel really exports is olive oil and olive trees. As a matter of fact, let me just give you, I'm a former history teacher, so let me tell you something about an olive tree. Actually, in Israel, when a family plants an olive tree, they never get to experience the goodness of the olive tree because it takes an entire generation for an olive tree to actually produce fruit. So like, my name's Stephen and my son Mike is here. So what I would do is I would plant a tree knowing that I would never be able to get any olives or any olive oil off the tree. It would never be of any value to me, but I'm planting the tree not for myself, but for future generations. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about oil that you may not know. Down throughout Scripture, oil has always represented the presence of God. Can everybody say the presence of God? As a matter of fact, when you study Scripture, Micah the prophet in the Old Testament, not Micah my son, but Micah the prophet in the Old Testament actually talked about how where there was a lack of oil, there is a curse from God. Because oil has so much value that in biblical times, people said, listen, what I want you to know is the olive oil is so worth so much that when you mess with olive oil, it actually represents the presence of God. And so way back in Genesis chapter 28, you see this man of God who takes olive oil and he actually anoints the stone in which he was laid his head where the presence of God was. And now down through the generations, when you actually take oil, this fine oil that has so much value, it represents the presence of God. Now here's what you need to know. You see these empty jars? These empty jars? In 2 Kings chapter 4, they represented the emptiness of this woman, represented the emptiness in her life. But you know what the oil represents? The oil represents the presence of God, the presence of Almighty God. But let me ask you a question, and I want you to consider it today. I want to ask you this. How empty are you tonight? Ask yourself that question. Don't ask it out loud. But I want to ask you tonight, how empty are you tonight? And then I want to ask you this question. What is it that you're full of? Because the truth is tonight, there are men and women. I'm starting with the adults. I know this is winter retreat. But there are a grown adult men and women in this place tonight who are full of things they should not be full of. And there are 12th graders and 11th graders and 10th graders and 9th graders and 8th graders and 7th graders and 6th graders who are full of things that they should not be full of. And it's not just full of sin. There's plenty of that. Chris told us about it last night, about the sin. But there are many of us that we're full of not just sin. We're full of things that are okay. We're full of sports and our desire to be successful there. We're full of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and social media. We're full of wanting people to admire us and to think good of us. There are many of us here that are full of things that we need to lay down before God. Because here's the truth of the matter. Before we can be full of the oil of God that represents His presence, we gotta first empty ourselves. When I was a kid, I went to a Sunday school class, and the guy in the Sunday school class who taught the class was he was like 20 or 21 years old. And you know what he did? That Sunday morning, this was back when you just didn't eat at church. Like, you could go to hell for eating at church back then. You don't do that. Don't eat at church, you'll go to hell. And I came to Sunday school class, and the dude had, my Sunday school teacher, he had cookies and Sprite on Sunday morning Sunday school. I'm looking for God to come back and kill us all. And he had Sprite and cookies all around the table. And he said, before I teach my lesson today, I want you all to enjoy a meal. And so I started eating on those cookies. I'm like, these cookies are good. I'm going to hell, but these cookies are good. Right? You know, I'm looking for mama to see if she's there. I want to stick some in my pocket. And then I'd eat a couple of cookies, and it was time to get something to drink. And I reached over and I grabbed that cup of Sprite and I was all excited. And I took a big old gulp of that Sprite, and it was Sprite with about 3 inches of salt in it. Yeah, bless Sunday school teacher. That's why I'm only 5'8". I stopped growing at that point. Dude's stunned at my growth. Like, how many of you adults, like, you're going to get a cup of coffee out of the kitchen and it's really early in the morning and you got your coffee and you're like half asleep, and the coffee would be good if there hadn't have been a couple of centimeters of palm olive in the bottom of the coffee cup. Like, you ever had coffee and palm olive? That's nasty. It ain't good. I tried it. It's not good. And here's the thing with many of us today, and this is what you need to listen to. Many of us, we've been trying to allow God's Spirit to work and move in our lives, but the truth of the matter is, before we can truly be filled with His Holy Spirit, before we can be filled with the oil of God, we have got to do serious business with Him and ask Him, God, what is it in my life that I must empty myself of? What is it that is in my life that is preventing me from being filled with the presence of God? Today, I preach off of this now, and it's not to look cool. It's because I can't see paper. So I need something that's backlit. And then I figured out that I had forgot my cord. And so I went today while you guys were playing 7,000 games of basketball and whatever it is you did. And I went over to Best Buy to find a cord so I could actually read my notes because my tablet was broke. And I was driving along the road on the way to Best Buy, minding my own business, listening to Christian radio, and it happened. And I didn't like it, but it happened. There was this dude standing on the side of the road there, and he had a sign. And when I saw the dude standing there, I began to automatically think, like a lot of you think, yeah, I wonder if his car's parked around the back of the restaurant. Like, I wonder what kind of bad decisions he's made to put himself in that position. Oh, I'm not going to give that dude money. He's just going to buy drugs with it. And all of these things are rolling around in my mind as I went by him on my way to drop $30 at Best Buy. And as sure as I'm standing here before you today in this black shirt, I felt like the Spirit of God said to me, how dare you? How dare you be in Harrisonburg, Virginia, ready to speak to 600 people tonight and be so full of yourself? So I turned that F-150 around at the stoplight. God ever punched you? I got punched today, right in the gut. And I pulled that truck into the parking lot next to the bank where he stood. And I kind of snuck up on him. And I said, sir, what's your story? He said, 3 weeks ago I had a stroke. I live in Charlottesville, but I lost my house there, and I'm finding myself in Harrisonburg right now. And he began to share his story with me about what was going on in his life. And I listened. And I took just a little bit of money. It wasn't a lot. I took a little bit of money out of my pocket. And I said, sir, I want to give you this, but could I pray with you first? And I put my arms around that man who looks nothing like me. And I prayed over him, the Spirit of God would invade his soul. I mean, what is it with us? How can we be so full of ourselves? How can we be so full of our own selfishness and our own greed and our own desires? How can we fill ourselves up? Let me say something to you, mom and dad. Let me say something to you, youth worker. Let me say something to you, teenager. If you've not felt alive in a really long time, let me tell you how you can feel alive instantly. What I can tell you to do is this: empty yourself of your own selfishness and then decide that you are going to find somebody who who's got it worse off than you. And then you are going to join God in reaching out to that individual that they might come to know of the living Spirit of God that can dwell within their hearts. Would you give God a clap offering? And I am here tonight, and I'm telling you this, I am here tonight because I'm just crazy enough to believe that God is going to do something in the core depths of our soul, and that he's going to empty the palm olive, and he's going to empty the junk in our coffee cup, and that when we empty ourselves and lay down before God all of the good things and all of the bad things and all of the indifferent things, that when we lay these things down at the feet of God, that we are going to experience the Spirit of the living God that will pour into our souls and that will change our lives. But what we got to know is before we can pick something up, we got to drop some stuff off. But when we come to the realization of realizing that anything that is in the way of God's Spirit living in us, it will not bring us life. It will only bring us death. Because the scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Would you say that with me? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so there's this logo that we have here this week, and this week I was actually hanging in my office and I was praying about what was going to say. If you can throw up the called out logo, that would be awesome if you haven't. But I was praying the Lord would just speak to me. And I saw this called out. It was on the corner of my desk. It was one of the flyers. It was one of the things. And I was looking at it. And I just felt like the Spirit said to me, and it's weird, the Lord speaks to me in weird ways because I'm a weird dude, I'm telling you. And I felt like the Lord said to me, and sometimes it's not the Lord, it's bad pizza, and I have to try to figure it out. But I felt like it was the Lord this time. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to stare at that logo for just a second. And I want you to try to look at it differently than you've ever looked at it. I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, well, I didn't have pizza, so okay. And so I looked at the logo, and for the first time I realized that the logo called out. It's not just two words. It's three words. Because right in the middle of the word called is the word all. And for us to truly be called out, our only responsibility is to give all to him. And when we give all to him, what he promises is an outpouring of his Spirit in our lives. And when we experience that outpouring of his Spirit in our lives, we come to understand that it is truly our greatest possession. Called out all of him. I'd like for you to bow your heads tonight. Don't be a distraction for the person sitting next to you. Don't be a distraction for yourself. God, tonight, you're calling us out. God, tonight, we want all of you. But God, we realize tonight that not only do we want all of you, but you want all of us. And tonight I feel like, God, that there are men and women and there are boys and there are girls that simply need to give their all. There are some here that need to give away secret sin and things they've been holding on to. There are others here that need to give up relationships or give up positive things. they need to turn over the things in their life that is taking up room. Because God, we realize that when we let go and let you, that you working and moving in our lives, that your spirit will come alive. And as a result of that, your presence will become our greatest possession. And so God, tonight I ask that you would draw us unto yourself. I just want you to sit in the quietness of this room tonight. And I want you to ask him tonight, God, what needs to be emptied out of me? What is it that I need to empty of myself in order that I might be filled with you? I'm here to tell you, teenager. I'm here to tell you, youth worker. I'm here to tell you, mom or dad. I'm here to tell you, youth pastor, that whatever it is that you will allow yourself to be emptied of, that when God replaces it with his presence, you'll come to discover it's the greatest decision that you've ever made. Be near us, God. Do something in this room tonight, in the hearts and minds and souls of these people, that will change them forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to do something that is totally different for many of you than you've ever experienced. But down through the course of the history of the church, we have been anointing people and anointing things with oil representing the presence of God. Do you know that it says in James 5:14 that if the elders of the church come and anoint with oil, that the prayer offered up in faith, that we would be forgiven of our sins and even healed of our infirmities? Tonight, I wonder how many of you long to allow the Spirit of God to live and dwell within you in a way that you've never experienced. I've got some people that's going to come help me this evening. And they're going to come and they're going to stand around these altars. Now here's what I want to say to you tonight. Make this very personal. This ain't about what your friend's doing or what your neighbor's doing. This is about what God is doing in your life. But tonight, if you're here and you're saying, God, I will be a willing participant to empty myself of anything that does not honor you, and that by emptying myself, I long for the Spirit of the living God to come and dwell within me in new and profound ways, that I might be the disciple of Jesus that he's called me to be. If that's you today, we have these 10 people that are here. And what I want you to do today is this. I just simply want you to form a line in front of one of these people. Maybe one of these people that is up here today, maybe they hold a special place in your heart. You can go to them. But what I foresee tonight is a room full of people lined up saying, Pastor, I long for the anointing of God to rest on my life tonight and forevermore. And what will happen is we will form a line, lines, lines, lines. I'll be here. There'll be a line. And tonight, you just simply stand in line tonight and allow these men and women to pray over you and anoint you with the oil of God that represents his Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me again? Father, tonight as we move, I ask that you would be very, very real in the hearts and minds and souls of these people. And that every adult, every teenager would respond by saying, I empty myself today. I empty myself today, that I might be filled. We pray it in your son's name. Amen. This evening, if that's you, I want you to move at this time. Would you move now?